Little addendum announcement to Gardner's service, okay? Did everyone hear that? Everyone, were you able to hear that? Okay. It'll be right after the funeral. The service will be at 12:15, so repast will be right after that. You know, service will probably go about an hour or so, something like that, so right afterwards. You want the phone number? It is. Why don't let me read it? That's okay. It is 347-816-6383, and that is Kim Mary Shaw's phone number. Kim's kind of organizing the point person, okay? Everyone got it? Well done. Well done. I'd like to say hello to some long traveling visitors here. We got all the way from the great state of Florida. Ayanna came up right here, all right? I would like to say she came up to see all of you guys, but that's just, you know, not true. She came up for Nick. And then all the way from Oregon, that's the West Coast, we have Amy here with us here too, from the church, and she came to see Tim, all right? But then from the great state of New Jersey, we have Brendan Byrne back here, yeah. I was on Brendan, man. He left the island, man. He went to country living on us here, but it's great to see him again. It really is. Good, and everyone else, good to have you here. I hope you make yourself at home. And right now, what we've been doing is beginning to get into the Gospel of John. And so the first part of our study of the Gospel of John has been more just different themes that will come up as we're going through the book. And, you know, we've talked about life, we've talked about light, we've talked about truth. Well, today, if you will look with me in John 13, you will see another theme as you go throughout the Gospel of John. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You know, as we've been talking about, the scriptures are fully of God, but they're also fully human. God used human beings to record this, but these human beings had to experience what they wrote. This was not something like theory. This was like, guys, this is what God does for me. He'll do it for you. And so John's trying to let us know that. This is an availability for you to experience. And so what he's writing about is this love that Jesus brought. Now, here's the thing. We just had Valentine's Day, okay? So everyone's thinking about love. You know, the card companies have made a fortune. Candies have made a fortune. Everybody's made a fortune. Restaurants. Deb and I thought we would beat the crowd by going to a restaurant last night. We ended up waiting about an hour or something like that. It's like, What is it? These folks, you know, they're off the wrong time schedule, okay? But this whole idea of love, and you know something? That is something everybody is interested in. The most hardened criminal to the most, you know, soft whatever person, we want love. When we were born, came into this world, we wanted love. So what is it that we want? We want to be valued. We don't want to be one out of 7 billion. We want to be valued individually. And that's what love is. It is this valuing of a person, valuing of another human being. It is that wanting to be valued, wanting to be recognized, wanting to believe that somehow I'm not just one of the herd. But there's something important and significant about me. I want this. So everyone loves love. We want to talk about it. And if you were to ask even atheists, so what does Christianity purport to propose and believe? They would say love. No, they don't believe it. And certainly they can talk about all the violations throughout history and hypocrisy and, yeah, it was a nice idea, and maybe that's what makes it even more disappointing. Maybe if Christianity had been about hating people and all of a sudden you see someone love, it's like, wow, look at that. But it's love. Love your neighbor. Love God. And then you see all this stuff, and it's so discouraging. And why is that? Because, you see, we all have been hurt. We all grew up in a fallen world like Nick was talking about. And we've been disappointed, we've been betrayed, we've been exasperated, we've been hurt. And so we deal with coping mechanisms coming up. Even the best of families. You know, some families get broken up, they never see one parent again. So they're always thinking, was it me? Was it me? See, that idea, am I valuable? Am I? And now just trying to search. Other people, they get involved in relationships, go from one relationship to another. Finally, this person values me. They said I'm the most beautiful person they've seen, the most handsome person they've seen. And then they break up and I'm betrayed and I'm left with, am I valuable? And that pain starts coming out in all different ways. We fight depressions. We fight body image issues. We fight anger. We fight possessiveness. You know, oh my, I'm so desperate to be valued that somebody shows me attention, whoomp, we lash. We fight fear. We try and pretty ourselves up, work ourselves out just to be valuable the whole time, knowing the truth, which is hard. And that is, there's somebody better looking than me on the face of the earth. There's somebody in better shape than me. There's somebody smarter than me. There's somebody more talented than me. So everything I'm working on just to be valued hangs in a precarious balance. And Jesus comes into this world. And he says to his disciples, after 3 years, a new commandment I'm going to give you. See, he couldn't have said this at the beginning, because he had to show them for 3 years what he is talking about. And I want to reread this scripture, but I'm going to use the Greek word. Pardon the fact I'm not using the correct tense of the Greek. I'm just going to use the noun of the word, agape. But I want you to listen to what he's saying here. A new command I give you, agape one another. As I have agaped you, so you must agape one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you agape one another. How do you know if someone's a Christian or not? Well, there's someone that got baptized for forgiveness of sins. Well, that's important, yeah. Well, there's somebody that believes that the Bible's the Word of God. That's important, too, yeah. Well, there's somebody that believes Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, that's important, too. But did you realize Jesus said none of those was a sign? Prove it. Prove that I am a Christian. Prove that you are a Christian. Well, look at these studies we got. That'll do it, right? He could have said that. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you do the studies in the right order and hit on these topics. Wow, you are a Christian, right? No. One way, he said. He never said anything else, but one way, he said, by agape will all men know that you're my disciples. So John is recording this for us, but throughout the Gospel of John, you're going to see this word agape and its variant, its verb form, over and over again. It is the sign. Now, here's the interesting thing. On Valentine's Day, you go pick out a Valentine's Day card. Did you notice there are all sorts of different cards? And I'm not just talking about wording. I'm talking about sentiments. If I send my brother a Valentine's card, I love my brother. It's going to be a lot different than when I send Deb. Okay? I don't just say, well, it's a Valentine's Day card, so hey, it's good for both of them. No. No, it's different. But isn't that love? See, here's where the English language is a little bit limited. 2,000 years ago, the Greek language, there were four words for love to describe it, to become more accurate. Three were well known. Okay? Number one, eros. That's sexual love. You're really attracted to somebody, and you're, you know, a husband and wife. I mean, that is the passion, the sexuality. It is that, yes. That's a love. That's eros. Do you realize that's not even mentioned in the New Testament? The Old Testament has a lot more of the passionate things there. It's not mentioned. Then there's storge. Storge is talking about the love, but for, you know, parents for children, children for parents. It's a family type love. That, a variant of storge, is only mentioned once in the entire New Testament. And that's in Romans 12. Okay. Then the third one was the most well-known back then. This is the one you would use. When you say, I fall in love, you would use this. Or, I really love my brother, which I do. I love my brother. He's awesome, you know? Or, I really love this person, this friend of mine. I love them. You know, Ricky is a good friend. I love him, all right? The word you would use is phileo. And that is talking about a genuine affection, a deep affection for somebody. When you fall in love, I phileo. I'm falling. I'm this affection that just comes. These were the three words. That one is the one that was used predominantly in all of Greek, describing love. And every once in a while, some of the words bleed over into other meanings, but for the most part, that was how it was divided. And into this mix, God brings this word agape. Agape, the noun, was not really known that much in classical Greek back then. The verb was used occasionally, but not, you know, all that much. But in the New Testament, the word agape is used over 130 times. It is the love that God talks about. It is a variant of love. You see, the thing about eros, the thing about storge, the thing about phileo, those are responses based on some stimuli. Attraction, niceness, you know, you love a friend because why they share with you, you just care. It's all based and contingent on that. Agape is contingent on nothing. Agape is will-directed. What it means when I agape somebody is I will their highest good. I can look right now at Pascal and will his highest good. Even if Pascal betrays me or does something wrong to me, I can go, God, forgive him. I will his highest good. Jesus said, Sheridan, are you going to be a Christian? Here's the test. Do you agape other Christians? But other Christians have disappointed me. Other Christians have hurt my feelings. Other Christians have, does not matter. Do you will their highest good? Now, does that mean we just let things go? Yes, you know, let's say Ed, he just starts offending me and talking behind my back. And all. Do I have to say, I like that. I love you, Ed. I appreciate it. Thank you. No, that's not agape. But what agape would be was like, Ed, I want his highest good. What is going to help him to repentance? Maybe a rebuke. Maybe a, look, I'm not going to let you do that anymore. Something to bring him to his senses, because in the whole scheme of things, he's got to turn. That will direction. Jesus said, by this is the acid proof. Are you a Christian? Gospel John's going to be telling us over and over again, posing that question, by agape. No, not by phileo. Oh, I really like this person here. We're close. And good. You know, atheists are close. Pagans are close. Mass murderers are close with other mass murderers. I mean, great. You got phileo. You have a affection. Good. That's good. But it doesn't mean agape. Agape. So, what do we want to do here? As we're going through the Gospel of John, Gospel of John's going to tell us three things when it comes to agape. Number one, it is the sign of someone who really is a Christian. It is the sign. And you see, you can't get away from that. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so agaped the world that he gave his one and only son. Do you know what? That is such a beautiful passage. We see that at football games. I know we've heard it so many times. You kind of get over it. But I want you to stop and think. You know what that meant? That means that God so wills my highest good, totally independent of whatever I'm doing or whatever I've done. God is not waiting to phileo me. He's not waiting until somehow I do something that really makes him happy and finally Sheridan got it right. Now I care. No. God looked at me and all my profanity, my immorality, my hatred, my thing, and said, I want the best for this young man. I care that much. What is the best? I will send my own son so that we deal with this situation. Agape is the sign. How can it not be? Because it comes from God. It is God's attitude toward us. Doesn't he also feel affection toward it? Yeah, he does. There are other passages that use phileo about how God thinks about you. But bottom line, we need the security to know that we are valuable to him no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing. We are valuable. It is him that decided to say, agape, I will will the highest good for you. And John's going to talk about that over and over and over again. So, it is the sign. Secondly, it is the example. I want you to look back in John the 13th chapter. Let's look at this. John 13. And let's go back to the first verse. Jesus is saying, a new commandment, you know, I'm going to give you, you agape one another as I have agaped you. So let's look at an example that he left for us. How was his agape that he wants us to imitate? Verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast, this is John chapter 13. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having agaped his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his agape. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He wanted a full body, you know, thing done. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you not understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. This is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I've chosen. But this is to fulfill Scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. It goes on there, and the disciples were wondering, who in the world is he talking about? That's really a sideline to how good Judas was. Nobody had an idea. Well, it's obviously Judas. They didn't know he's that good. But I want you to see the example of Jesus. A new commandment, you agape one another as I have agaped you. What did he just do? Look at this example. Look back at verse 1 of 13. As he's washing their feet, why in the world would he wash their feet? Because it was the full extent. He had agaped them for 3 years. Now he's going to show the full extent. Guys, there is no limit. I will do what a common servant does when someone comes into the house. I will wash the most dirty, disgusting part of your body. I used to clean my house out when I was going through puberty, when I'd take my shoes off. We never had any issues with bed bugs. I killed them all, man. I tell you what, it was awful. I don't know why in the world my feet were that bad. But the idea of washing the feet. And he goes, you know what? The full extent. I'm not just here teaching you. See, this is what John wants you to know. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your master. Jesus is the one through whom the entire universe was created, John 1. But he wants us to know something he experienced that you can experience, and that is the full extent of the agape. Jesus will do whatever it takes to help you be who you were created to be. He will take off a towel, wrap it, and wash your feet. The Lord Christ, the one who will come back again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that no army will stand up to. This is the one, the full extent. What do you need to be who God created you to be? Here I am to do that for you. And then he says, John, imitate me. This is what I mean by agape with Peter, with Bartholomew, with everyone. He's saying, Sheridan, imitate me with all of you. He's saying, you guys, if you're a disciple, imitate him. What does it take? How do we approach one another? Write down in your notes, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. That is agape. We didn't deserve it. It doesn't elicit it. The lives we've lived do not cause God to be warm and fuzzy and affection. Oh, that just makes me... Your hatred just makes me feel so good. Your lust, your lying, your deceit. Oh, why feel, he doesn't feel good at all. But he does what is ultimately best for us. See, agape is willing the highest good for for a person. If you are a Christian, you are commanded to love your enemies. We don't do that. We don't want to do that. You know what? Because I've been hurt. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But guess what? You don't have to feel like it. That's the good thing. Sometimes people say, I'm not a loving person. No, you may not be a phileo type of person, but anybody can be an agape. Anybody can decide, God, use me to will the highest good for everyone here. Anybody. Anybody. And I'm going to talk about why in just a second, too. Jesus said, look, how do we look at one another? Do we look at one another like, what can I do to help this person be everything they were created to be more like Jesus? What can I do? Can we look beyond? Maybe I don't relate as well. Maybe I don't understand. That's okay. We got time, you know? We're here. But it's never, never, never an excuse for any Christian to say, I'm just not into agape. You just revoked your passport. That says you are a Christian. Full extent. How do we look at one another? Also, look at what else he does here in verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So this is what Jesus knew about himself, right? God's given me everything. I've come from God. I'm going to God. So what should I do? Walk around, get a load of this, guys. Look at this bad boy. I'm on top, baby. So he got up, took off his garment, and wrapped himself in a towel. That's what agape does to you. It makes you unbelievably courageous. Unbelievably courageous. You see, for those people who are still living for this world, we're all in this world. But you're either an inhabitant or you're an exile. Which one are you? Throughout the Old Testament, God's people were exiles oftentimes, and they were expected to still be God's people because they were just passing through. In the New Testament, Peter will talk about we're exiles. Paul would talk about we're foreigners. We don't belong here. Guess what? If your life is here, you've got everything in the world to lose. If somebody does something wrong to you, you better pay them back because this is all you got. You don't have anything coming. There's no hope. So you better do it. They ruined your life. They've hurt you. They've done things you cannot forgive. You're right. Unforgiveness is going to be destroyed with the rest of this world one day. But see, Jesus knew, I'm coming from God. I'm going for God. I am free to just do the best for everyone else. Because this world ain't my home, I'm just a passing through, as the song says. Brothers, sisters, are we too much of this world right now? Are we just trying? We're so tentative. Well, I don't know what to do. You've got a whole group of people here that can help you. None of us know just what to do, but we help each other. We study the Word of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us and shares with one another. If you're not a Christian, you cannot understand what I'm saying. If you are a Christian, don't understand what I'm saying, something is wrong. You better make sure your passport didn't get revoked. You may need to re-up it. Time to renew your passport and confess to God all of the attitudes, confess to God all of the excuses, confess them and enjoy the forgiveness because now you're going to will the highest good for other people. You know, when you're just passing through this world, you don't have to pay people back. Now, when all you got is this world, you better pay them back. But here's the ridiculousness of that. You can't do a good job because you're not perfect at it. So the type of revenge you offer may not perfectly get to the person. You may do too much, and now they're going to come back after you. Or maybe you don't do it quite enough. But this person's got to know how much I've been hurt. Let me tell you what. Don't you worry about justice. God Almighty is coming. The fury of God, we don't like to talk about it. The writer of Hebrews says it's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. When God Almighty issues judgment against evil, there will be no hiding. It will be done at the most intimate, personal, terrifying thing that could happen to a person. That's why he hadn't done it yet. He's patient, saying, come on. I've got to destroy evil. I've got to do it. But you don't want to be part of it. Read Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is revealed against heaven, not against wickedness, against people who by their wickedness suppress the truth. The cynics. Time's coming. I would hear people sometimes joke, yeah, well, I don't care. I'm going to be with all my friends, you know, having a party. I'm thinking, you're foolish. You have no idea. See, even the very concept of friendship will be gone. Anything good, any place, gone. And not only that, but now, because evil's a part there, what is unleashed will go to the very core. It will be the most terrifying thing because evil will continue to ruin no more. And so, why do I need for justice? God will do that. So what does God want me to do? Sheridan, pray that they change. Sheridan, let me do the judgment. Please pray that they change. I care about them. I died for them. I'm trying to woo them. Pray that they change. Because one day, Sheridan, you will not be here. You will be with me forever. So while you're passing through, don't nail down your tent pegs into this life. Love will the highest good. Jesus is our example. And lastly, John wants us to know that agape is to be a way of life. Not an occasional experience. Not a, hey, I'm in the mood. I think I will the highest good. It's a way of life. Look at John 21. You know, as John was writing this, sometimes, don't you wish at times you could have been there just as they were kind of recollecting and they're praying, you know, John's praying to the Lord, what would you have me write? This wonderful experience. How do I do this? And he's writing. I wonder the look on his face when he would write about his good buddy, his brother in the Lord, Simon Peter. Who, by the time he's writing this, Peter has already been martyred many years before. I don't know if he would remember the times of the Sea of Galilee where they were sharing, if he would remember when Jesus first called him, if he would remember the innocence of, oh, this is great, we're following him, not having any idea what that's going to mean. But boy, the words of Jesus were amazing. Just spoke right to their hearts. And so John's going to write about Simon Peter. But in doing this, he's going to tell us agape is a way of life. In John 21, Jesus is raised from the dead. And in verse 15, and again, I will use the word agape and phileo, not the verb form, which it should be, so please pardon the primitive way I do this, but just so we'll understand. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my lamb. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you phileo me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, follow me. Singers, you guys can be making your way up to the stage. As they do that, I want you to think about this. Some commentators think that the change of words doesn't really mean anything. Others think it does. Jesus asked twice, do you agape me? Peter, will you seek my highest good, no matter what the situation? And Peter could only answer, no, I phileo you. In other words, I'm affectionate for you. I'm deeply affectionate. I really like you. He doesn't say the agape. So then finally, third time, Jesus goes, well, I tell you what, Peter, let me ask this. Are you really deeply affectionate? Peter goes, Lord, you know all things. You know I am deeply affectionate for you. I care. Each of the times after Jesus asks him that, he says, feed my lambs. It's a way of life. Agape is a way of life, but it's a type of love that, you know what? You have work to do. If you love God, you are a worker for God. I think it's interesting right here that right after Jesus the third time says, feed my lambs, he goes to Peter, I tell you the truth, there's coming a time when you're not going to dress yourself. And he goes on, and John says, thinking back, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. You see, at this point, Peter is still Simon Peter. He loves Jesus, phileo him. Jesus is great to be around, but what happens when the going gets tough? What happens when he's on the pain of death and torture? Is he going to end up, I don't know this guy? See, that's the thing about phileo. It'll go to a point. As long as everything's going good, I love you. But Peter, when can you make the jump to agape that no matter what the cost, no matter what you go through, no matter what you have to give up, yes, sir, the highest good for the glory of God and His Christ. Well, guess what? On the day of Pentecost, somebody came down on Simon Peter. And that somebody was the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5:22, Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is... not phileo, not storge, not eros.
Agape.
Agape. And at the end of Peter's life, you read 1 Peter 1, verse 22. He will say, having purified your souls by your obedience to truth, so that you have sincere love, phileo, for one another. Agape one another deeply and from the heart. Mm. Peter was going to make the jump from just, I love Jesus, I like Jesus, to now, the end of his life, agape. And by doing that, he paid the price for the highest good for Jesus and for his people. How about us? It's the proof of who we are. It's the example that's been set for us. And love is a way of life. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we're so grateful for who you are, so grateful for the agape that you give us all the time. You always see who we can become and not where we are. And Father, I pray that you will help us to, in like manner, as we have been agape, that we will turn right around and agape one another. God, please bring to the surface every attitude, every resentment, every bitterness, every worldliness, everything that keeps us from really caring and willing the highest good for one another. We love you, Father. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and close out in song.